is April 11th, 1989. I'm in the home of Mr. and Mrs. George Miller, and we're going to conduct this interview for the Northville Oral Histories Project. And my name is Francis Durham, the interviewer. Let me turn this off and see how the volume is on the tape. Okay, we're continuing the tape now in the interview. I talked a little bit with Mr. and Mrs. Miller before we started the taping and found that they're both from originally from Dexter, and then were married and came to Northville. Mr. Miller, tell me when you came. I know you came two different times, so let's start with your first stint here in Northville and when it was and why you came and what you did.
Well, I just came because my brother worked at the Ford garage here, Myers. That's where Max are now. And worked there as a mechanic for 4 or 5 months. And then I decided to go back to Dexter. That's about, I worked on the railroad in Dexter for a while, and then, we finally met my girlfriend, M. Miller, or Petroit. Anyway, we got married, and we come back to Dexter, to Northville.
Uh-huh. And what did you do when you got back to Northville?
Well,
what did you do for a living?
I worked at the Ford garage here. It was still, but it was then, I think, Rennie and Marley. And we worked for $26 a week. And why I was there is when, it was about 2 or 3 months, this Steve Armstrong came up and wanted me to buy him out. And I said, how could I buy him out at $26 a week? And anyway, he said, he said, I know you can do it. I had worked for him before when I was here, before I was single. So anyway, we took inventory, and I think bought a wrecker and tools and what have you for around $300. And that was his place, was on 577 Randolph under Armstrong's garage, which I operated under his name for about 2 years. Then I switched into Miller's.
Okay, so when you first came in 1935, you worked as a mechanic.
Right.
And then when you came back again in 1936, you again worked as a mechanic. So your first experience in Northville was as a mechanic.
Right.
Then eventually you had the opportunity to buy,
right,
buy into this.
Buy the Armstrong's garage, which I had AAA service, which the wife answered the phone and I'd get up 4 or 5 times in the mainly Mayberry Sanitary and go out, and when they got through work at 12 o'clock, they had flat tires, their cars wouldn't start, or get stuck in the snow bank coming out of the Mayberry. And that was my biggest run, Johnny, out there with my, that time I had a Model E pickup. And then I had a Packard wrecker, and then I bought another Packard, which is a picture in that book there. But that's about it. And from there,
okay, so you not only were a mechanic, but you also had road service. You had a wrecker, and when it was through AAA that you had this.
I ended up with three wreckers.
Uh-huh.
Three wreckers and a couple of service calls. And then I ended up by, I see this barn uptown. There's a big horse barn. And right on Hutton Street. And a guy by the name of Schultz owned it. So I bought it off of them for $3,000 or $4,000 on payments. And we tore the barn down. In fact, I used the beams when I built the new garage, the new building. I built a 70 by 80 foot building, which I just still general repair.
Mm-hmm.
That was in the 40s. And I did a lot of work for Twin Pines Dairy. They were on 8 Mile and Beck.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what kept our count going. I had about 8 of their trucks I serviced and put motors in and clutches in and done a lot of repairing.
Was Twin Pines a pretty good sized dairy out here in this area?
It was
one of the bigger ones.
Right. And then we moved to Detroit, it was a big one.
Right. Okay.
And I used to do, in fact, I write up until they kind of went out of business, I sold them trucks when I got the Dodge dealership. I sold them 4 or 5 diesel big trucks.
Okay, now.
And I still did a lot of work for them.
Okay, how long did you have this repair business? Because I know later on you became a dealer, but how long did you run the repair,
as a repair and as a wrecker service?
Till 1948, so that was from 1936 to 48.
Right, that was just general repair.
13 years for general repair.
I had Bern Imslin worked for me, Ken Cochran, I know some guy even called today at the garage by Timmy Stone. Do you remember him, man? Anyway, he used to work for me. I mean, a lot of people. You know,
mm-hmm.
But anyway.
Were there any automobile dealerships in town at that time?
Oh, yeah. There was Orson Atchison. Was on the corner where Cal's Golf is. He was Chrysler there. And the fact that's where my son's body shop, where the showroom is.
Right.
And then the Chevrolet garage, where Mace is it?
Mags.
Yeah.
That used to be where the Ford garage was. And across the street was a Chevrolet garage. That's where Rathburn was. Rathburn was there, and there was a building that was all in a bowling alley. Rathburn had one part. He was a Chevrolet. Chevrolet and Olds. He was there, and they tore that building down, and he bought the place where the Northville Record is now, out there on the corner end of 7 Mile Road, Northville. He built that building. Rathburn did, and that's where he moved his dealership.
Okay.
And then John Mack, he bought built into the business here where Mack's was. And that building was tore down, and John Mack built the building on the 7 Mile cutoff. The road wasn't there then, and they made a cutoff. So before 7 Mile, they had to come all the way through town. So they tore his building down, and they've been tearing buildings down. And one fact, there was a butcher shop there where the parking lot is, Rathburn, the bowling alley,
right.
And butcher shop. I had some, I don't know where there are pictures.
So a lot of these buildings that have been torn down.
Oh, a lot of them.
And replaced with other buildings.
Oh, right.
Or made into parking lots.
Or what
have you. Okay, so in when you started in 36, there were a couple of dealerships here who I'm assuming also had service garages.
Right.
And you said you had a Ford dealer and you had a
Chevrolet
dealer. Okay.
And the Chrysler dealer, he got it about the same time I did. He was Chrysler Plymouth. And he was only in it, I don't know, into the 50s, maybe the 60s, I guess it was. And he quit.
Now, is that how you got into the dealership?
No, I was dealer already.
Well, you were already?
I was Dodge. He was Chrysler. I had Dodge and Dodge truck. And I also had Plymouth. And finally, I had to drop Plymouth to keep my trucks.
Right.
Because then he quit. And then they opened the Chrysler Plymouth in Plymouth.
Well, how did you happen to get into the dealership business from the
repair
business?
They came out and they seen I was doing all, because I had about 7 mechanics working, plus I had a partsman, I had quite a big parts room, and I was only big service. I had more service work than the Ford or Chevrolet. Chevrolet garage had one mechanic. The Ford garage only had two.
So obviously.
And I had 7 men working.
Yeah.
So and I did a lot of truck work.
Right.
I really got GMC first. GMC, they came out when we did. In fact, I was on Randolph. And in fact, I sold a couple GMC trucks to the Northville Foundry. They bought off of me that, but that was, it must have been in right 44, I think it was right after when the war ended, 43 or 44?
Well, the war ended about 45,
yeah.
That
must have been
pretty wound down, so. Okay, so
then they came out, wanted me to take on the Dodge, but I had to build a showroom first. So that's when I built a showroom on. And,
did they finance it for you?
Oh, no. I forget who did help us finance it. Don Merritt, I think it did.
Okay, but a representative from Chrysler Motors then approaches you or whoever it was and wanted you to build the dealership.
Right.
And then give you the franchise.
I always had a repair shop.
Yeah.
And a bump shop.
Right.
Going. By then I had added a bump shop. I had two body men working. And then from there, from the body shop. I never did add on to there till all the suit. I kept going. Of course, dealerships were going up and down. Of course, in 80, 79, you know, the interest got 21%.
All right.
The dealers were going out left and right. I was one of them, too, and the city wanted me out.
Yeah.
I had the, and by then I bought the whole block on Hutton Street. I owned from Main Street all the way through to Dunlap's.
Okay.
Plus I bought 3-4 houses down on Dunlap, which the city, I was just ahead of them. I bought them, but I bought them because I was going to rent them out, which I did. I rented them out for a while. And they wanted them for parking, and they went through the procedure to get me out of business. So finally, they bought my whole, all the property. The city bought me.
What, did you condemn the property?
Well, no, it just, well, things were kind of rough, and they wanted it to revamp it and make parking. And
yeah.
That was what they called 80 or 79 or 78, Northville or something.
Oh, okay.
They called it something. That's when they started to.
Okay, so they wanted to kind of revamp the appearance of Northville then.
And they didn't want a car dealer in the middle of town.
Well, you certainly had a successful car dealer, though.
Well, he kind of come out. I still have only 3 acres zoned commercial in the city of Northville, which I do own. I own right in the process of buying me out. They got to relocate you, which is looking for part, which I finally accepted. I got 3 acres right behind me at DPA yard, which I hope to sell, or my son might move down there if we can get the Gerald Abner paid. I got 3 acres that goes almost a 7-mile road.
Okay.
That's right along the railroad track.
Right.
Which someday I hope to do something with it.
Okay, and I'm assuming part of this dealership you were in the used car business as well as the new car business.
No, that was on Main Street.
So,
well, plus in between time I tore it down. I bought this gas station, it was on the corner. Then the city kind of frowned on that. I went ahead and made it into a car wash. It was the first car wash in town, two-bit, put into the quarter.
All right.
And you'd get a car wash, and I'd put that in, and we started a company on that. What did we call that, Em? She was...
DSC.
DSC?
ESC.
Anyway, that was our car wash company, and we had... And I was going to build on 2 more stalls, but business was good. Got in the wintertime, they'd be, or summer, buying way down the street. Then the city kind of frowned on that, because we're on Main Street with a car wash.
Oh, that was right on Main Street?
Oh, yeah, right on the corner where the park is.
Right.
That was a gas station. I just put the doors on the back, and it was, made us a little money.
Yeah. Okay.
Automatic car wash. That was the first, and then... Thompson, his dad kept looking and said, well, boy, he's a money maker, so he just started the one out on 7 Mile Road there, called the Choo Choo Car Wash. He got the idea from us running ours there.
Okay, was there any organization similar to what there might be today among businessmen? There would be some kind of a businessmen's association. Chamber of Commerce, of course, would come along a little later, but you were one of the businessmen in town at that time. Did you have any kind of an organization
among the businessmen? Well, we bought Exchange Club.
Exchange Club.
I belong to that. I joined that right away, and I belong to that. Oh, Cliff Hill and Laterney, they got something about this integrating with colored or something, and I don't know, somebody got some scrap over there. I just can't forget what it was, and the Exchange Club went out, and it was here for years.
Dissolved itself.
It was a noon deal every Wednesday. We would meet at the church and have our lunch and have a speaker and what have you. It was quite interesting, but anyway, it finally dissolved, and I don't know if there's any Exchange Clubs around the country yet or not. I don't know.
There's some. Yeah, there's some.
But was there something to do with integrating or something. Mm-hmm. That's why they...
Were there any other kind of businessmen's organizations that that existed in Northville where you might kind of be looking out for each other's interests and kind of banding together and kind of a, not a fraternal organization exactly?
No, we had our Michigan Dealers Association.
Okay.
National Dealers Association.
Okay.
Which we would have meetings every month, and I belong to the Michigan Dealers Association, and national, I used to go to conventions.
Right.
Florida, California, what have you, once a year for 3-4 days. And they used to have a Wayne County Dealers Association.
Uh-huh.
I remember dealers would meet once or twice a month at night in different places and try to get together. We finally got it, so we used to be open every night at 9 o'clock.
Right.
And we finally got it to be open just on Monday and Thursday nights.
Mm-hmm.
And then we finally they even cut it down to like Saturdays. We used to be open Saturdays. And then it was cut down to noon, and then finally they got it so Saturdays was closed entirely, which they're still fighting. Some of the public still wants to be open on Saturday, but
right.
Saturday was a poor day in business because everybody worked on their lawn and done their house cleaning and
right.
what have you. They never, Saturday was always a poor day.
So it really wasn't.
They still holler that they should be open like Kmart, what have you, but it wasn't.
Okay, so there really wasn't, other than this Exchange Club, there really wasn't any organization of the businessmen in town that would meet periodically for just to further business. Okay. Now, I do know that this is a family business because you told me that your wife originally worked in the business.
Oh, yes. She
did. And how long did she work in the office, did the books and that kind of thing?
Well, she used to work when it first started. She chased parts and run parts. She always did that right up till, I don't know, she quit. When did you get quit? She quit in about 77, somewhere.
Yeah, okay, so she worked in the business for a number of years then.
Oh, yeah.
And now your son, or is there more than one son?
I have two sons.
Are both involved in the business?
They were in the business right up till I quit.
Okay.
They worked right from the roof. I made them went right through school. They would come down and sweep up the floor or wash cars or what have you. And in fact, son George here, I didn't want to bring that up or not, but he had quite an accident there at the dealership.
Oh.
He was in junior. This lady bought a car and she had new tires on it. She wanted them on this other used car. So he came in and wanted to know what his job was. I said, well, you got to change those tires over. So which he was changing because the wheels wouldn't really change. One was a Ford and one was a Plymouth.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, he was doing that and somewhere or other this tire blew up on him. Broke his leg, knees, arm. He was in a hospital in Ann Arbor for 3-4 months, almost killed him.
Wow.
And broke his jaw. He still has a bad jaw on that.
The tire actually exploded.
Oh, yeah. Wow. It was a faulty tire. But we never could prove it that it was.
I'm just going to ask you whether the manufacturer of the tire.
Goodyear came out on it, but they claimed that something was wrong with the wheel. But anyway, one of those things. And anyway, and then Vic had a chance to go to work at Perkins, as my number two son.
Right.
He went to Perkins, and finally they quit about a year and a half ago, and he had a chance to, laid him off because he didn't move to Atlanta, and they hired him back to clean out his warehouse, so he worked for him a year, and he is under this building over at Plymouth, or Wayne, under 11 acres. He was the only man in, him and a guard.
Wow.
He was cleaning it out, taking the stuff, shipping back to England, what have you.
Yeah.
And finally, GM Detroit Diesel called him.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where he's working on, Detroit Diesel.
Okay, now
he's in engineering.
What was Perkins? What kind of company is that?
That was Diesel.
Diesel, okay.
Perkins Diesel.
Perkins Diesel.
Yeah.
Manufacturer?
Oh, yeah.
Manufactured diesel engines?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Now, when did you retire from active?
80. I had an auction in February of 80.
Auctioned off the equipment and everything.
Right. The city bought me out in the fall of 79.
Uh-huh.
And I had so long to get out.
Uh-huh. Okay, but then your son George has continued in the repair business.
Right. Well, he worked for construction companies for about a year.
Mm-hmm.
And this deal came up with Siemens, the bump and paint body shop, which he always kind of wanted to go into, and so we had a chance to buy the building, and so we set him back up in that business, which he's doing real good at.
Okay, so the family name is being continued in the repair business.
Right.
Well, that's great. How long from the time you first came, it'd actually be from 1936 until 1980, you were involved in that dealership.
Right.
Yeah. So that's a long time.
Well, the dealership was really in 48, but I was in repair business.
I
was in business all the time.
Right, it evolved from that repair business.
Right.
So I would imagine the Miller name was well known in the Northville area
and
surrounding areas.
Big for repair. We had about seven mechanics working, and a parts man. Different parts men who worked in the service manager, which I run. I was a service manager. The wife would do the books till we got bigger, then we had to hire a couple more girls.
Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned you serviced Twin Pines trucks.
Right.
What about any city-owned vehicles? Would you service them, police or
maintenance? We sold a few police cars. We did some work for the city. I think years ago I did quite a bit on Randolph Street, because at that time you only had about one truck.
Uh-huh.
In fact, you only had, when we first come to town, there's only had one policeman in town.
Right, yeah, I've heard of that.
I remember Clyde, last name, and he had a motorcycle. Then I forget what the other policeman's name was. We traveled quite well.
Mm-hmm.
So we only had one police, finally a police car.
Right.
And one. The town has grown any bigger. I mean, the cars, what you call it, but now they got, I don't know, like seven or eight, I guess.
That's right. Okay. Now, let's see. What's another topic we can talk about? Your children went through the Northville schools.
Right.
Were you satisfied with the kind of education they received?
Yes, no, really, because we finally pulled them out and sent them to country day school.
Okay. Any particular reason?
We just, at that time, they weren't into the ABCs like they should. They just couldn't, you know, I don't think that was a time when they were changing their education. They didn't know it was learning them fundamentals of what we figured that they should be, and we figured they could do better at the country day school.
So yeah. Okay.
They went to the country day.
Both boys.
Then they came. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Then they both came back here after the eighth grade.
Okay.
So they went from the ninth on.
Oh, and then they went back to Northville High School.
Right.
Okay. Were your sons involved in any sports or clubs or that kind of activity, or primarily just academic things?
Just more or less, no, it wasn't. I don't think either one was in the sports.
Not in the sports. Okay. Now, let's talk for a minute about what kinds of social life or recreational activities there would have been say when you came in 1936 as a young married couple, and by the way, I do want to talk to you a little later about the different times you've moved, but let's get back to the topic at hand now. What was there in the way of recreational or social activities back in those days in the early 30s, 1935, 36?
Not much, I don't remember, because it wasn't making that much money.
Yeah, okay.
So we just...
That was really shortly after the Depression.
Right.
So,
as I said, when I started this job, of course, again, I remember your wife had to go down at Twin Pines with almost quite a bit of money, and she'd go down there and, you know, try to get some money out, and they'd give her $100 or $200. And I remember the first Christmas, young George was at, and I think we had to go out to our folks, and we'd come back with some chickens and eggs and what have you, and some potatoes. That's all we had, because the money was so scarce that first year or two.
Yeah. Would it be fair to say that a lot of the social activities revolve around the home itself? I mean, the entertainment took place in the home to a great
degree. Right, yeah, I think it was.
To a
we had neighbors. I think we, Janod's. Dick and Betty Janod, they lived up the street a ways from us. They lived there then. But then that was kind of a... No, I don't remember what we did much for. Finally, later on, I know we had the group in there that used to, at the high school, have dances. We used to go to them.
Uh-huh.
At the high school.
Now, who would put on these dances?
Gosh, I don't remember.
But these would be dances for the adults,
right?
Not for the high school kids.
No. Right.
Yeah, okay. Square dances, or?
No, just regular
dances. Okay.
But I don't know, we didn't go to shows, that's about it. Didn't know TVs or anything.
Yeah. Okay.
Radio. I remember we bought there was a Studebaker dealer, which was operated by the Petz brothers.
Uh-huh.
That is where they were, on the corner where the car wash is, right across from the Ford factory.
Yeah, right.
They started in there, Studebaker.
Uh-huh.
They were just a gas station, and they had a chance to pick up the Studebaker franchise. And they finally built the building down right next to the North Hotel.
Mm-hmm.
That's a camera shop.
All right.
I don't know, there's a camera shop in there. There's four or five
saddle.
I know the saddlery's still there. I don't know what it is.
Yes, and there's a office supply place.
Right. That's where the Studebaker, he finally built. Petz Boys built that.
Uh-huh.
Bill and Will Petz. They were down there for quite a few years. And finally, they went out of business, Studebaker did.
Uh-huh.
And they just kind of folded up and sold the business. Bill, big Bill's up North Roger City, and Will died.
Mm.
He moved to Arizona.
Well, and that brings up kind of a question. While you were competitors, you still pretty well knew each other, yes, you're in business competing with each other, but from what I've been told about early life in Northville, everybody knew everybody. It was generally a friendly relationship.
Right.
Didn't have problems with crime to speak of.
No.
And you talked about the one-man police force.
Yeah.
About the only thing, maybe somebody drove a little bit fast or maybe had a little bit too much to drink,
right.
But you didn't have problems with vandalism and thefts in your car lot
Well, towards last, we did more. I
guess
things kept going, and I'd put a few tires stolen off of me. One time, I remember, I don't know why, somebody came out, I tracked it through the snow from the tavern that was beside us there, and walked on top of two, three new cars, and then smashed out four or five windows of my cars. I think I got the loose thing out on the garage, there yet. I don't know, five windows I think they broke out on.
But that would have been in more recent years.
That would be in maybe 75,
yeah.
76.
Where those kind of things would be relatively unheard of in the 30s and early 40s.
Right.
I mean, they didn't have that kind of problems.
No, we didn't.
Okay. When you started in 1936, started your own repair business, what other... And yours eventually became a very successful business because you said you had seven mechanics.
Right.
What other kinds of businesses were there in Northville at that time? Northville was really kind of a small town, but there were some businesses besides the farms in the surrounding area.
That's all I remember is the foundry and the the stores.
Yeah,
Northville Electric. They were going, and that's Trumbull's on that. Trumbull's.
No, when you say Northville Electric, do you mean they were selling appliances?
Appliances.
Yeah, okay.
Doing wiring in homes. And
okay, area. Okay.
And I don't know of any of the Warren products. They were down there yet, because that used to be when we first come, it was a milk place. I think they used to make something down there, I forget what it was.
Okay.
Bound by railroad, because then there's Northville Lumber. I mean, it was there's Northville Lumber, but then across the road was
Parmentier's.
No, there's another lumber on the side of
Knowles Lumber.
Okay, so a couple lumber yards down there.
The Warren Products, which is still there.
Right now, what did Warren Products? Were they manufacturers?
Yeah, they. Oh, they made John Deere farm implement stuff. I don't know, different parts for John Deere for years. Then they got into, I don't know what else all they did make. I don't even know what they make now. I haven't. I know I sold them a few trucks at the time they came up here. But I don't know even know what they, because they sold out.
Right.
In fact, I was just trying to think of it. Man that owned it when it first started. But then they added on, and it was kind of a machine shop and what have you. I don't know of any other.
Was the Silver Springs bottling plant here when you
moved in? The building was there, and the building was there because I remember going down there, and then finally, there's a guy bought it out and was making pool tables.
Oh?
In the building.
In the building, yeah.
And that finally burnt down or something went out. And of course, that was the coal yard was down there too.
Yeah.
Ely Coal.
Ely Coal, yeah, okay.
Have you interviewed Chuck Ely?
No, I haven't. One of the other interviewers, I think, has interviewed Chuck Ely.
Well, Chuck is back in. He's leaving Florida. He stays down in Florida where we are.
Okay.
But,
Chuck Ely.
He knows more about the history because we did a lot of his work. He had coal trucks. And, coal first, then he went into the oil.
Okay.
And,
What about that Globe Furniture Company? Was that still there, or
that
already burned
there.
Down?
No, that was there when we were here.
They were still operating?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, and they, as I understand, primarily manufactured church pews and that kind of furniture.
Could have been, I
guess. Okay, now Stimson.
You
just mentioned Ely's. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, we just mentioned it. So he was in the coal and later on the fuel oil business.
Yeah. Okay. But he was just coal when we started, because I remember.
Ice? He had ice also?
Oh, yeah, ice.
Had ice also.
Okay. Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot on Randolph Street because they used to peddle ice. We didn't even have ice, but we had just a regular ice box.
I understand they used to cut the ice, I think the mill pond, and then they would store it.
Oh, when we were, they had made their own ice. They had their plant right there.
Oh, they made their ice, okay.
they had a plant, well, about right where they are now, but a building. Or did they have the building? They had a building uptown, too. They had a building, and they had the stuff in the back that they made their own ice.
Made the ice.
Okay. They used to go to Detroit first. I remember when they first come here, they used to go to Detroit and truck it out.
Yeah.
And they finally made their own, and then finally they went out of it. I mean, of course, yeah. Then you got ice boxes.
Right, right. One converted to refrigerators. Okay. Mayberry Sand, was that still in operation when you came?
Yeah, okay. That was a big thing.
That was a cool fact. You said you sent a lot of your records out there.
Records, so start them at night and get them going, because the doctors would get off at noon. I knew very few of the doctors out there. Dr. Mueller, kind of show up the names down again.
And Wayne County Training School was still in operation?
Yeah, it was operating very much.
Okay.
In fact, I had, when he was on Randolph, I went out a couple different times. I had boys, I would get, you know, helpers to clean pans and work in the mechanic from the training school.
Oh, from the training school.
Oh, yeah, they'd come. In fact, one lived with us, Joel, what's his name?
Walter.
Walter. I would, you know, of course, I was the one help out there. I don't know, we paid them or what have you, but they stayed there. But did I get one or two? I don't know.
They would be more or less, not exactly what you call trustees, but they could be released and come and
they
work in town.
A lot of them were good out there, but they were got home. There's homeless. I mean, they were.
Right.
In fact, this Walt we had, he was, I think he lost his parents, but anyway, he went to service. He got killed in service, I heard.
I think so.
Yeah. I know he was the one that was dirty, dirty, dirty. Remember, I. As far as cleaning, washing.
I'm told that the Wayne County Fair was quite a popular activity in Northfield in those years, and that in fact I think I was told Wayne County Training School raised their own fruits and vegetables, mm-hmm. and they would have exhibits at the fair.
Right.
And now, what is now Northfield Downs? Was that called the Fairgrounds at that time?
No.
That was called the Fairgrounds, then later on it became known as Northfield
Downs. A lot of horse shows.
Okay.
A lot of horse shows.
Okay, tell me about those horse shows. When did they take place?
I don't remember when they took place, but...
Before the Downs.
Well, it was usually local. The people that rode.
Okay. Okay, so would this be more than one time a year? They'd have several of these horse shows in the course of a year?
I really don't remember.
And were these are horses that were on farms around the Northfield area, horse farms?
Northfield was always a horsey area.
Yeah.
I mean, and a lot of show horses.
Yeah. Okay.
And a lot of riding.
Another thing I remember, because I had to go down and weld on it, was Joe Lewis trained out there.
Trained where?
At the fairgrounds.
Oh, he did?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because they had the grandstand, the ring put up.
Yeah.
I don't know, something was broke on it, and I had to go down and weld the thing, and I remember seeing him there. He was, he'd have a sparring partner come in, and they'd put in an exhibit. He had to go pay so much as in the grandstand to watch him.
To
train.
Watch him, okay.
That was when the grandstand was just wooden. They must have tore that all down. I don't kind of remember, because when you're in business, you're so wound up busy. You work 12 hours of work. Work all weeks. Even like on Randolph, I used to be on Randolph, never get downtown, never know what was going on. Right, when we first come to town, the railroad, the streetcar came right up town too, didn't it? Stopped at the, I remember, I don't know if that was after we got married, I remember being in Northville when they had a caboose, they had a orchestra thing right in the middle of the center in Maine.
That was like a gazebo, where they had concerts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, they had that in the railroad, a streetcar would pull right up to there.
You know, when you say streetcar, is that the Interurban?
Right.
The Interurban was still in operation when you first came to Northville.
When I was first here, I don't remember, was it there when you was there or not?
Okay, so it must have been.
I remember it being there.
Okay.
Because it was when I was first here.
Right. Okay, then there was also, am I correct in understanding there was a train, or did you have to go to Plymouth to catch the train?
The train would stop here.
Train would stop here.
Yeah, they had a depot. The depot's gone, I guess they moved that out. What happened to that? Where Ely's coal yard was.
Okay, and then that would go into town.
Right.
Go into the Michigan Central Depot.
No, let's see. No, I don't think that train did it to it. Maybe it.
No idea. No.
I remember when the steam engines would come through. I remember when they would bring coal or coal trucks or. In the Ely's, but I don't know if you could get on a train there, but streetcar could. Cause you went to Plymouth, I know, a couple times, and took the train into Detroit from Plymouth.
That was years later.
And then I understand later on there was a bus line.
Biddle
bus.
Right.
Okay. And that would go to Five Points?
Five Points,
and then from there, if you want to go down to downtown Detroit. Right. Okay.
Now, Biddle is, the bus is where Charlie's is. Northville Charlie's.
Oh, Northville Charlie's.
That was Biddle's bus. That was his bus station, and then where he kept the buses. And,
okay.
Jim Lee worked there as a mechanic, and Jim Lee worked for us for a while. But
he worked with him at Ford's.
Yeah, Ford Ranch.
Okay. Getting back to Joe Lewis, did was this just a one-time thing
just
when he was training out here?
Right.
So it was primarily people would pay to watch him train and his sparring partners.
Right.
So it was kind of an attraction. Mm-hmm. It wasn't anything he did on a regular basis.
What year that was, I don't remember.
Yeah.
I remember going down there and seeing him. And I think I watched about it too, but I remember I had to do some welding on the we used to have car shows down there too.
Okay.
We used to have our
at the Chrysler, fairgrounds.
At the fairgrounds, Chrysler came out 1 or 2 years, I think. They'd rent it. All the dealers from Michigan would come in, and they put a display on down there, and we would sit up in the grandstand and.
Okay, now I'm assuming this was outdoors.
Oh yeah.
There was no covering like there would be at the state fairgrounds today.
So we'd bring the cars in, we'd have them cleaned up and what have you, service them out, and then they'd put them out there as a showing, and then they had different things going on.
Did they have any kind of demonstrations with the cars, or were they just stationary?
They'd drive them around. Also, who was I remember talking to him, the TV radio man. There was an advertisement for Grayson. Of course, this was back in, must have been in the early 70s.
Were these car shows primarily Chrysler line of cars?
Oh, yeah. Right.
Okay, so General Motors or Fords,
no,
none of the others.
Just Chrysler. But
okay.
They used to do that a lot. They'd have down Detroit or someplace you go and you'd have to see the car. This year they had it out here.
Yeah. Did it attract a lot of people?
Well, it's just for dealers.
Just for dealers?
A new car. Just they would show.
So them. It was like a new car preview kind of thing.
Right.
Or today they might go to New York,
right.
Or they might go to Las Vegas,
right.
Or they might go someplace like that for their new car previews. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay, that's interesting. So that fairgrounds has been used for a lot of different things. I understand, for example, that the high school team used to play their football games down there, and play them in the center of the track, or in the center of what's Northfield Downs now. And Do you remember, maybe it didn't exist when you came, that there was a ski jump? You remember a ski jump over in the park somewhere? That may have already been gone. Okay. Well, let's see, what else do we need to talk about here? Mrs. Miller, since you've joined us now, what about activities for women? You're, of course, working with your husband, so you spend a lot of time working with your husband, but were there any social kinds of clubs or activities for women in Northville, say in the 1930s into the 40s and 50s, that you became a part of?
Well, I belonged to the women's club.
Okay.
And then I joined the garden club. And then I joined the questers.
Okay, what kinds of things would the women's club do?
It was the social.
Strictly social.
Strictly social. And the speaker.
Speakers in.
Right.
Okay. And probably have a lunch. It was a luncheon kind of thing.
A tea.
Okay. How many women from Northville was it a fairly large organization or a small organization?
When I first joined, we always met at the old library that was on Wing Street.
Uh-huh.
And that now has been moved to Millrace.
Right.
So it couldn't have been too large because they couldn't
it wouldn't
accommodate that many people, but I would say probably about 40 or 50 women.
Was it primarily Northville residents?
Right.
Or was it open to?
No, it was not.
Strictly Northville.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then the garden club. My mother-in-law belonged to a garden club, but she was never a gardener, but she went to the garden club. What kind of things would the gals in the garden club do? So.
Well, that was social.
That was social.
Well, not really. We met in homes.
Uh-huh.
So there again, I think it was limited to at least 50 or 60 women.
Right.
And have a speaker or do things. But we used to put on a Christmas thing at the community center.
Uh-huh.
And they have a Christmas show. It was always fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
But that went by the wayside too.
Okay, now was it some kind of displays?
Other garden groups were invited in.
Uh-huh.
And they each had their own booths.
Uh-huh.
Yes, and they sold things. Made things.
Uh-huh.
And then they had flower shows. And they were judged.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Okay, so it was a garden club that was social, but it was also
right.
Functional. There were
right.
flowers involved in the garden club.
Right, and a garden club has always given a scholarship.
Uh-huh.
To, some of the high school students. So that was the way we made our money.
Does that club still exist?
Oh yes.
Still mm-hmm. still in existence. How about the women's club? Still exists?
Right.
Okay. And then you mentioned the questers.
Right.
Tell us about the questers. What kind of organization was that?
Well, it's an antique group.
Uh-huh.
And it's really just studying the antiques and
you'd go to different locations and
different homes, and then each year we always take a trip somewhere and to visit some other city or houses or homes or something.
Okay. And were there a lot of antique lovers in the Northville area?
I think there are.
And a lot of antiques in evidence in the homes here in Northville?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Good. Did you happen to belong to the Northville Historical Society?
No.
Never got involved in that. Okay. Any other social kinds of things? activities for women that you can think of?
Not that I belong to.
No, that's not you belong. So those would have been the primary things that you'd, whenever you found time to, from your...
Right. I'm not
from
a bridge player.
So... Okay. Let me turn this off just a minute here. Okay, continuing the interview now. I just talked with Mr. and Mrs. Miller before turning the tape back on. Mr. Miller came in 1935, still single, came and worked as a mechanic, stayed something less than a year, then went back to Dexter, worked in the Dexter area for a while, and then he had a young lady that he was interested in, and eventually they were married, and then came back to Northville, and that was in 1936. Okay, and here we are now in April of 1989, and you've seen a lot of changes that have taken place in Northville over these years. Northville, in the early years, was a small town, kind of a bedroom community. Do you have any idea how many residents there might have been in Northville, and let's say in 1936 when you came, in the town itself? Would you
say around 3,000?
That's what I figured, about 3,000 people. And today it's considerably more than that. Today we not only have the city of Northville, we got Northville Township that surrounds the city. How do you feel about the changes and the growth that have occurred in Northville over the years?
Well, I guess it's, by the way, just, it's been pretty good. I mean, it's, except, say the town should need more parking. It just seems like the town isn't Northville anymore. I mean, it's, but anyway, there's some of the old people are still there. But otherwise,
Northville has become, as Plymouth, for example, has become quite a tourist attraction. You see these tour buses coming in, a lot of senior citizen groups come in. What brought about this Northville becoming a tourist area, particularly in antiques and that kind of thing? What was that by design on part of the government of Northville, you think? Or how did that happen that...